It was February 1983 when I hiked the Milford Track. Has anyone here hiked the Milford Track? Oh, a couple of people. Excellent. My brother John was 13, my younger brother was 9, and I was 11 years old. Now, the Milford Track is a famous walking track in New Zealand's South Island. Doesn't it look beautiful? And in case you've never heard of it, it's described as taking you through towering fjord valleys, past wild rivers, gushing waterfalls, lakes, and up and over an alpine mountain pass. It's one of New Zealand's best walks, and I've done it, thanks to Mum and Dad making us do it. So does that inspire you to go hiking? Anyone here inspired? Yeah, I want to go hiking. Oh, there's a few people. Good. But before you commit to this hike, let me tell you a little bit about it. You'll be walking 54 kilometres, nice number, in 4 days. But check out the elevations, up, down, yeah. It starts with a lovely ferry ride and a gentle 5K walk to start the first day. And off you go, you walk and you walk, and guess what? You walk, and you walk, and you keep walking for 4 days. Each person has to carry a backpack. There are huts, so that is nice. And in your backpack, you have a sleeping bag and some clothes. And I'm thinking we probably got Mum and Dad to carry the heavy food, or maybe my older brother, who's a bit stronger. And we hiked with a group of people, and we took turns to overtake each other whenever we rested, because that's what you do. Hi, see you next stop. And the next day, what did we do? We kept walking. We walked along the Clinton Valley, as shown in this photo, and you can see what I mean about the towering fjords and that valley. We started down there. Okay. Then on day 3, we had a 750-metre climb up to the top of that photo. Up. And here's our beautiful family picture. So you've got Dad on the left, yes? Dad, then John, then Mum, then me, and my little brother Leon. I don't think I've changed much, hey? Yeah. And after you're at the top, then you've got to go down, and it's 1,000 metres of down. Does anyone here get the wobbly knees? You know, when you start going down and the knees just shake? Yeah. But like any journey, there's challenges. We had to persevere. If after one day I went, Mum, I've had enough. I don't want to walk anymore. It was too bad. I had to keep walking. No, not as an 11-year-old, and I don't think even Dad or my older brother would have. The only way out was to put one foot in front of the other and to keep walking. I'm sure there were times I said, Mum, I'm tired. Can we rest? My legs are tired. What have we got to eat? I need some chocolate. And I probably grumbled. But amazingly, I don't remember any rain on this trip. Now, if you Google, and I forget the exact number, the chance of rain on this trip is huge, so many days out of the year. I couldn't find it when I went searching. But if there is a good rain, the rivers turn wild with gushing waterfalls, that description I shared earlier. Everything goes wild. And I remember we did come across a river, and there was one wire up relatively high across the river, and you had to walk on that wire if the river was in flood and hold on to two wires, sort of doing a tightrope across. And I praise God that the river wasn't in flood. I did say, Mum, what would you have done if the river was in flood? She's like, well, you, Mum and Dad, and maybe older brother might have made it, but Leon and I were possibly too short to reach. She said, we'd have to stay and wait till the flood water went down. Didn't have to happen, luckily. But on this journey, no one broke a bone, no one sprained an ankle, No one required helicoptering out, because you either walk or you get helicoptered out. That's your only option. Like many journeys, there were challenges involved. We finally finished the hike at Sandfly Point, and anyone that's met sandflies, tiny little black bitey things that are horrible. Sandfly Point, full of sandflies. And we waited there for the boat to take us back to Milford Sound. Now, I was looking through my scrapbook because I used to cut out photos and stick them in a scrapbook. And as an 11-year-old, I've written, hiking is fun. Do I still think that way now? I do like the view from the top of the mountain. I'm not too keen on the journey up, but once I'm there and then going down again, that's beautiful. So it takes much persistence to climb a mountain. It's quite a journey. Do you like these words? Persistence, uncertainty, and challenges. Anybody like these words? Oh, a couple of you do. I'll have to talk to you after. They're common on any journey, and I'm thinking they're probably not your favourite words. Some of you have said you're hikers, and maybe you've had the persistence and the perseverance that you need to get up that mountain and to cope in the bush environment. But I'm sure you've been on journeys of a different kind. And this question, what type of journeys have you been on? I invite you to close your eyes, just briefly, no falling asleep on me. And I want you to think of a journey you've travelled. Close your eyes. Now, I'm not just thinking of a physical holiday journey, because that might be what first comes to mind. I want you to think more broadly, a journey of life, a journey. And there's so many different journeys we've all travelled through. Okay, you can open your eyes. Let's start with this first journey. I'm guessing you've all been here. The physical journey of growing up. You start as a fetus, a baby, a toddler, a little kid, a bigger kid, a youth, an adult, a retired person. How's that? We're all on that journey, yeah? There's a few challenges, times of perseverance, persistence. Yeah. Okay, the next journey I've got for you, an educational journey. I'm guessing you've all learnt something at some time, be it childcare, kindergarten, preschool, high school, TAFE, university. Even now, you're still learning, I hope. Okay, what about the next journey? A relationship journey. Dating, marriage, buying a house. It's a pretty common journey most people go on. Okay, the next journey. How about this one? I called it an independence journey. L plates, P plates. Full license, maybe buying a little, I did have a little blue car, not quite that one. Anybody here brave enough to acknowledge that on their driving journey, they failed the first time they went for their license? I'm not alone. Thank you, peoples. That's good to know, because we don't often share those journeys. Perseverance, persistence. We kept going, hey? We tried again. Don't do it on your 18th birthday. How about the next journey? A spiritual journey. Questions about God, Bible study, leading to Bible study, baptism, church membership, and here you are today. Now, the spiritual journey is not always easy, just like any of the journeys I've talked about. And the spiritual journey may involve a crisis of faith, doubting what you believe, fearing to trust God. But I want to encourage you to hang in there. God's in control. Now, just in case I didn't get to the journey that you were thinking of in your head when you shut your eyes, please come tell me after church. I want to know what your journey is that I've missed. And I didn't put up there my cancer journey and some health journeys and some other things, but we've all had different journeys. All these different journeys have different joys, different challenges. And that's life, hey? We need persistence, and perseverance to get to the end of any journey. And you know, the Bible is full of many different journeys. I bet you can guess where I'm going today with my journey. We'll see. One of the journeys, Daniel to Babylon. That was a journey. We've got the children of Israel walking in circles. That was a long journey to the promised land. We've got Paul's missionary journeys. He did many. But what about this one? Though short geographically, the greatest journey of all was Jesus' earthly journey from the manger to the cross. And have a look at the beautiful banner here. We have the manger next to the cross. Remember, the angel said to Mary, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And today, I want us to zoom in to focus on another journey, an important journey, a journey with implications for us today. And I'll invite the kids to come down the front so you have a front row position, and we're going to have the Christmas skit part two. Thank you to our actors and actresses today.
Somewhere in the far east, the night sky blazes with an unfamiliar brilliance. Three scholars stand atop a hill, scrolls and instruments scattered at their feet. They are people accustomed to reading signs, but this one defies their understanding.
There, again, that light, brighter every night. It doesn't fade, it hovers.
It's probably a celestial alignment, or your eyes are failing. Either way, I'm too tired to care.
That's the problem with you, Caspar. You always see mathematical equations, but I see messages.
Messages? From whom? The heavens do not speak.
Yet you listen so intently.
The three exchange a knowing look with experience that comes from decades spent chasing mysteries. They've studied the patterns of stars since their youth, searching ancient writings, maps of prophecy, whispers of kings to come.
I remember reading, "A star shall rise out of Jacob, a scepter shall come forth from Israel." There could be a link.
Old words, ancient hopes. Israel's God has been silent for centuries.
Maybe he's about to speak again.
The star pulses like a steady heartbeat. Its light seems to blanket them. They are drawn by a different gravity.
If that starlight marks the birth of a king, then we must follow it.
Wonderful! Another world for us to support. Perhaps this one would tax the stars as well.
You're welcome to stay behind, friend, but for me, I am not going to miss a moment in history.
Every journey with you two is always an adventure, but always ends up in a physiological argument and blisters.
They pack their precious treasures, symbols of devotion and honor. Gold for kingship, frankincense for divinity, myrrh for sacrifice. The road ahead stretches into uncertain territory. Fear and faith collide. Weeks pass. They encounter fierce sandstorms, freezing nights, scorching days, and constant fatigue. The plodding camels follow the unfamiliar trail, oblivious to the pain of the human leaders. Yet the star remains their guide.
Remind me again, why can't the king come to us?
He is a king. He does not travel by camel.
And because the best things rarely come to you, seek and you shall find.
After many months, the shimmering star leads them to Jerusalem, the city of kings. They approach the palace, defiantly hobbling, maintaining dignity. Their robes are dusty, their weathered faces focused on one purpose.
Welcome, travellers. Welcome to Jerusalem and to my humble palace door.
We seek the child, born King of the Jews. We have seen his star and have come to worship him.
The warm tones turn to ice.
A new
Herod's
king?
Sinister smile conceals an evil eye.
Can I ask that when you find this king, that you come back and let me know, because I would love to go and worship him.
And pigs may fly over Babylon.
Or maybe this new king will overthrow Herod, if we're lucky.
They make no commitment to Herod's devious plan. They bow politely and leave the palace. Fear reigns in the corridors of power.
That man's words are honey dipped in viper's venom.
You think he'll harm the child?
What do you think? He's a madman.
Night falls. The star reappears, stronger than ever, animated by a celestial power, drawing them onward to destiny.
The star is waiting for us.
The heavens themselves are rejoicing.
They follow the light to the edge of a small Judean town. The noise of the city fades into stillness, and there, a humble dwelling, a flicker of lamplight, the scent of hay, a warm stable.
This can't be right. A king here?
But then again, this could be heaven right here.
We've followed the signs. This is no mistake.
The three wise ones enter, their footsteps hesitant, anticipating. What? A young woman turns towards them. Her eyes embrace them with calm assurance. In her arms, a child. The privileged three forget the terrors of their journey.
The star's light, it rests on him.
So small, and yet I feel the weight of eternity.
God for the king who reigns without armies.
Frankincense for the presence of divine among men.
Myrrh for the sacrifice that will outlive every empire.
The child stirs, the wise ones bow deeply. In the silence of that night, their philosophies evaporate. The heavens have bent low to earth.
Our journey ends here, and yet begins again with you.
The star led us to a king, but the king has taken us to the light.
The sky outside is vast and quiet, but is changed forever. Behind them, the house glows faintly, a ray of glory in a dark world.
I came searching for a king. I found God in a cradle.
Then our journey was not in vain.
The star begins to fade, its work done. As they walk away, the three wise ones do not look back. They will take another road home, but their hearts will never travel the same path again.
Thank you to our actors and actresses and the chief scriptwriter. I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew 2, 1 to 12, or you can read it on the screen, but I encourage you to open your Bibles. Matthew 2, 1 to 12. The visit of the Magi. Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ child was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So, that's the story of the wise men. We have 12 verses in Matthew, and that's all we know. Well, that's the basic details that the Bible tells us. Tradition has tried to fill in many of the details. But what a story and what a journey the wise men made. It reminds us a bit, maybe you've played the party game, where someone starts with a simple sentence and they whisper it into the ear of the next person, and it gets passed on and on and on, and by the time it gets to the end, the sentence is nothing like what they started with. This is my explanation for the wise men story. We have so many questions about the story that aren't answered in the Bible. I've grown up thinking, oh, this will all be in the Bible. Of course it is. That's what I've heard. That's what I know. But it's actually not written there. Here's some of the questions. And I want you to focus on the point of all of this is often lost in all the decorative detail. We don't need all that fancy extra stuff that's been added. Today we're just going to come back to the basics. So in Matthew 2, how many magi were there? Matthew doesn't say. How did they travel? Did they come on camels, horses, by boat? Once again, Matthew doesn't say. Where did they come from? We know from the east, but we don't know. Was that Persia, China, Japan? Other countries have been suggested as well. Saudi Arabia? Who knows? Matthew doesn't say. Was there a stable or a hut or a cave? Again, he doesn't say. And what day of the year was Jesus born, or what time of the night or day? Once again, he doesn't say. So you've got two explanations. Maybe Matthew didn't know, or maybe he didn't think it mattered about all this extra stuff that we seem to have added to the Christmas story. Do you like that? It didn't matter, all this extra stuff. But I really love what's on the next slide. What mattered to Matthew was simply this, that a great event happened, that a great man was born, and born in a most extraordinary way, and the world would never be the same again. Focus on those again. What was important to Matthew? A great event happened. A great man was born. Born in an extraordinary way. And the world would never be the same again. So what can we learn from the journey of the wise men? I have three simple little points for you today. Number one, search. In case you hadn't guessed it from our song earlier and some other things, search. The wise men were really good at searching, weren't they? Studying. The wise men had ancient prophecies, maybe in the book of Daniel, that foretold the Messiah's arrival. And they also had the star that they followed. They searched, they studied, they investigated. All this information didn't just magically get dropped there. They found it out. They were scholars of astrology and prophecy. They loved to study. Anyone here love to study? Yeah. They loved to study. They had access to scrolls and they found out where Jesus was to be born. We sang earlier in the song, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And that's my challenge for you today, Matthew 6:33. Part of our journey, whether it's up mountains or just through life, involves searching and seeking and studying to find Jesus, to build a relationship with him. But once we have a relationship, to keep building that relationship with him. So number one, to search, and the wise men did a great job of searching. Number two, to worship. And you might have guessed that from the songs today. Thank you, Louis. Lots of songs about worship. The wise men also did this point beautifully. Matthew 2:11, the first half. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Just as the wise men worshipped Jesus, I hope this is your aim too. In this busy Christmas season, make the time to stop, to pause, to bow down, and to worship the Jesus of Christmas. Now, if you were here last week, Alan shared about God's invitation to accept the Messiah. And so today, after we've accepted the Messiah, it's time to worship. No matter what has occurred on our journeys through life, up mountains, through valleys, waterfalls, you name it. So we've had number one, search. Second one was worship. The third one the wise men did beautifully, give. They gave their gifts. In Matthew 2:11, the second half, they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave valuable gifts. We don't know the monetary amount, but I'm pretty sure they would have been expensive. But what about you? What gifts can you give to Jesus this Christmas? I'm not referring to gold or silver or frankincense, but rather spiritual gifts, emotional gifts. Jesus wants our hearts and our minds. And just in conclusion today, what about you? How's your journey been? Have you struggled? Have you had to persevere to find what you're looking for? And what about your faith? Has it sustained you in tough times? And afterwards, have you been able to look back on your life and see, God led me through that? Can you imagine the wise men on their journey home? If their journey here was very hot, dusty, cold, windy, you know, you name it, every drama happened. What was their journey home like? Were they bouncing up and down? Were they running? Were they full of joy and cheer and amazement and fulfillment? What they went to see, they found. And in the end, they had the ultimate Christmas story to share. They said, "We've found the one we were seeking." And I pray that you too will find Jesus this Christmas and be able to say, I have found the one I was seeking. Thank you. Bow your heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for the reminders in this Christmas story today to search, to worship, and to give. Yes, we're all on different life journeys, but we are not on the journeys alone. Thank you for being with us. Just as your star guided the wise men, you continue today to guide us. May we choose you this Christmas and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.